Today's episode is brought to you by DeSanto Propane. DeSanto Propane is four generations strong as a trustworthy family-owned business with unmatched customer service. Go online at DeSantoPropane.com for more info or call toll-free at 1-800-752-4574. Since 1937, the difference has been DeSanto Propane. Today we are discussing a story that threatens healthcare access across upstate New York. This is Inside the FLX, and you've probably heard by now about a dispute between WellNow Urgent Care, an established chain across the region, and insurance giant Excellus. In fact, odds are, if you live in upstate New York, you've interacted with one or both of these entities, probably multiple times. However, that dispute over what WellNow describes as unfair rates from Excellus has prompted the urgent care chain to say it will have to cut ties on January 1st. The implications of this are serious, and there's a lot to unpack this hour, but we are grateful to have Dr. Robert Birnbaum, Chief Medical Officer for WellNow, here with us. Thanks for taking the time. Can we start with just a 411 of the situation and how we got here?
We have sent Excellus a letter that we will be going on a network if we can't negotiate a better rate for our team members and our providers by January 1st.
How long? I think one of the things that took a lot of readers and listeners by surprise last month when this news really sort of broke was how it kind of felt like it came out of nowhere. I'm assuming this has been something that's been building to this moment for quite some time. Talk to us a little bit, if you can, about the timeline of how this, how it came to what we saw last month and what we're living with now.
Sure. I mean, there's been discussions for quite some time. I mean, very detailed discussions over the past year, but this has been building since, 2016, 2017. When you're really looking at our rates and you compare our rates back from those dates to now, we're actually getting reimbursed less, even with all the inflation. At the same time, provider wages are going up. We want to have the best medical staff that we can to take care of our patients. And so when you're seeing a decline and having these conversations, it's difficult to understand why there's no movement.
What is the rationale from Excellus's side of this? Well, you guys are having these discussions. What's their rationale for attempting to keep the rates, I would assume, flat or what they have been historically over the last 8 or so years?
So a couple of comments that we've heard are, they can't increase our rates any higher than primary care, which is a tough thing to hear as a physician. Comparing us to primary care physicians is difficult because urgent cares exist for two reasons. First reason is you can't get into your primary care physician, or you don't have a primary care physician, or you have a problem that they can't manage. So in a primary care physician's office, they don't repair lacerations. They don't drain abscesses. They are not procedural based. They don't have X-ray at their disposal. And when we're getting those comparisons, and then we hear, well, it's okay, we'll be able to, absorb if you go out of network, that absorbing is going to be a choice to go to the emergency department, where the wait times, we all know, we read about them, 6-hour wait times to be seen, or people aren't going to be seen, which is even worse. And I would then tie in, when we always talk about this, we have a tendency to kind of lean in and talk about, places like Rochester or Syracuse, right, where it's suburban and city, but we forget that we have these healthcare deserts, and that's really what people call them in places like Oneonta, or when you start shifting north of Syracuse or south of Rochester down into the southern tier in areas where we may be the only option other than an emergency department, or sometimes we're the only option other than really overbooked primary care providers. So that comparison just, it made us feel like they don't even understand, or we're not willing to understand our scope of business.
What are sort of the intricacies with that classification? Because obviously you're not a primary, these are not primary care facilities at all. I know a lot of folks use them like primary care facilities, especially younger folks. But at the same time, is this like a classification thing that the Excellus is arguing that, well, no, this is what you are by our standard, or is there another standard that they're applying to this, like a state standard?
Sure. They have a tendency to compare us because it's the same type of billing codes. And so, which this is that when they compare us based on a billing code, they're comparing it just using business and not true patient care. You know, as a physician, I just keep thinking about, you know, we have sites that are open 12 hours that are seeing 50 patients a day right now. And that's a patient care issue. And especially in our healthcare deserts, where our volumes in New York going into, you know, cough and cold season are really increasing. And, you know, I think that it's, I sit here, I think it's incredibly short-sighted because during the pandemic, we stayed open. And primary care providers would not even allow patients who had cough and cold symptoms into their practices. And we stayed open. We saw hundreds of people, you know, at sites every single day. We created testing only sites to be able to help the community. And so that comparison based on billing is not a true comparison based on clinical care of our patient population and communities.
A lot of folks are probably wondering, where do the discussions stand? Where does the negotiation stand? How wide is the gap? I think a lot of folks would probably be curious, because I think that would maybe give some insight to what the likelihood would be of a deal happening before the end of the year when things are set to go another direction.
Yep. The gap is pretty wide right now. And it's concerning because obviously this is a last case and worst case scenario for us. We really want to be here for our patients and the communities. We, you know, it's tough being someone who is from the Rochester community, having these conversations, knowing that I've had friends and family reach out to me and ask me if this is real and what are they going to do? And so there's a gap. And you know, as a company, we're obviously more than willing to, you know, sit back around the table and have these conversations to help close that gap. But, you know, someone who is native to one of the communities that this is going to have one of the largest impacts on, it's really tough as both a physician and a community member to know that this gap can't be bridged.
For how long, if you could, approximately has WellNow just been absorbing the loss, so to speak, absorbing the fact that the rates have not kept up? I mean, you go back to 2016, 2017, but for how long have things really been out of step?
I would say, you know, at least a minimum of 3 years, if not longer. And, you know, part of this is when you've seen recent inflation, right? So we all know, you know, pandemic is one of these things that we have a tendency to say pre and post pandemic, because during pandemic, honestly, it in healthcare, it just is kind of a blur, right? So, you know, when we were prior to pandemic, the rates were still not meeting the rates of inflation. And post-pandemic, we all have seen what's occurring from a, you know, people's salaries are increasing, inflation is increasing. And we want to deliver the best care with the best providers. We want to be able to recruit the best medical staff to be able to care for the patients in our community. And we have really high standards for who can work at our sites. And so when we start seeing that they're just not meeting even remotely the rate of inflation, and they are continuing to have and secure significantly high profits as a company, it just does not make sense to us.
So let's fast forward a little bit. January 1st, January 2nd comes. What changes for the patient, assuming nothing, a deal isn't reached before then?
So we obviously will continue to see Excellus patients, but they will have to pay out of pocket, which, you know, maybe in the beginning of the year may not be as big of a lift for people who have a high deductible plan, right? So we, you know, I always say the beginning of the year and the year are two different conversations, but in the beginning of the year, you know, people who have a copay plan, that's a big lift for them, right? Because the difference between paying a copay and paying for your visit is a pretty big difference. So we will always be there to take care of them. Unfortunately, it'll have to be, you know, a cash-based plan. And that's going to be difficult for people, you know, as they're trying to figure out what to do for their healthcare. And, you know, as a physician, I would say, why would we want to put someone, you know, to have to make a determination if they can afford healthcare when we're readily available for them? And that's what's going to happen January 2nd is people with this insurance will have to make really hard healthcare decisions based on finances. And that's not where we want to be as a company.
This is probably a very difficult question to answer. But if you're kind of ballparking it, what would, for an average visit, what would an out-of-pocket cost be for a customer like that, for a patient like that who's coming into a clinic?
So I can tell you our current cash cost to be seen at one of our sites is $165. And that is our cash cost for people who don't have insurance. And that includes everything. And for people who have Excellus who may have a copay plan, that's not fair, right?
Yeah. Patient volume. I'm curious. Obviously, you guys have a ton of clinics. You're all across upstate New York. You mentioned the Southern Tier, Western New York, Central New York, the whole lot. And especially in more, I would call them rural, less suburban types of places as well. What's the patient volume look like at WellNow clinics in general? And if you're putting an estimation on it, what percentage of those patients do you think are Excellus enrollees?
So, our average patient volume currently right now throughout New York State, we're averaging 52 patients in 12 hours, on an average at our site. So our sites are busy. And when you're really looking at, Excellus as a whole, and obviously focused on, Rochester, Southern Tier, Syracuse, and the network that these discussions are about, they can make up, up to, 30 something percent of our patient population, sometimes higher depending on the center, and sometimes lower, a lot of it depends on geographics and what we see coming in, but it is definitely a decent amount of our patient population.
How would that affect, because I would have to imagine that, a lot of Excellus patients would opt to go somewhere else if their insurance was no longer going to be workable at WellNow. What kind of operational impact would that have on WellNow when you start to like game this out 6 months, 12 months, 18 months?
It's obviously hard to say. What I can say is there have been centers we have not been able to open because we just have not seen, the rate that we feel that we deserve to staff appropriately. So we have centers that are unfortunately remaining unopened based on difficulty recruiting, because our reimbursement from one of our major payers is significantly lower than other payers. Marching out 6-12 months, it's kind of an unknown, right? We know that we deliver amazing healthcare to people who don't want to go to an ER and can't get into primary care or have a procedure that just can't be managed by them. And we know that the other payers that we work with, we have great relationships with them and we hope to continue to be able to serve our communities in every location we have. But that is an unknown that is really kind of tough to answer.
You said you used the phrase out of step, I guess, there. How out of step is Excellus with your other payers as far as that goes when you're looking at the industry as a whole?
Significantly. It's one thing, we understand that every insurance company has their own rates. But, when we're looking at, this type of payer and two very large communities plus a large rural, kind of capture, you would expect them to want to be able to drive healthcare to centers that are excellent and less expensive, right? And so to me, the message that they're giving their patient population is you can't be seen at one of the urgent cares in, say, Syracuse, where we really, in Syracuse, we are the market of urgent cares. So the only other option you're going to have if you have some injury that is not manageable by your primary care is to go to an emergency department where the spend is 10 to 15 times higher for the exact same issue. So if someone has a laceration that we know primary care doesn't often repair, they're going to have to go to an emergency department. And the overall cost to Excellus is going to be higher. The wait time is longer. And it's just a massive inconvenience from a patient care standpoint.
The average listener is also going to hear what you just said and think to themselves, that makes absolutely no sense. Why not come up with a better reimbursement rate for you guys rather than shell that money out to other areas of the healthcare industry that are already overburdened? Has that been part of the I guess, argument from your guys' perspective to Excellus and why a deal is pretty paramount on that front?
Absolutely. I mean, there have been studies now that look at the value of urgent care medicine and the savings across, you know, the country. And it's, you know, lots of millions in terms of overall savings. Because, you know, when you think about the average patient and what an urgent care is reimbursed versus an emergency department, you know, we're talking multi-millions of savings just in New York alone, right? And I can't get my, as a physician, and then as a parent, community member, it's incredibly disturbing to know that, you know, I was talking to my sister who lives in the community and she has Excellus. And she's like, well, what if one of the kids, you know, breaks something or has the laceration? I'm like, unfortunately, if there's no place for you to go, you're going to have to go to the emergency department. And so when you think about it, as a patient, people's copays for emergency medicine in the emergency departments are significantly higher, right? I mean, we all think about when you're looking at our plans, it's end of the year, and you're really looking at your plan, and you know that your emergency department copay can range as, you know, generally the lowest I've seen is like $200 and as high as $1,000. And so you're covering most of that visit out of pocket. And you compare that to even an out-of-pocket cost for urgent care is so significantly lower, even compared to your copay that you have to pay for an emergency department visit.
How concerned are you that rather than go to the emergency room in some situations that folks will simply forego medical care at all in certain situations? Obviously, in more extreme, dire situations, of course, they're going to go to the emergency room. But do you think there could be some element of just foregoing care completely because of that reality that you're describing where, you know, the cost is just too significant? And, you know, if not covered through Excellus at WellNow, maybe I just won't go at all.
Absolutely. You know, one of our biggest concerns. And I would say, you know, more so in kind of the healthcare desert areas, right? So where there are no other options. And so people will either they'll just not go and get care, or they'll get delayed care, which can lead to worsening outcomes. So they'll wait until they can't wait any longer. And we all know, you know, from an illness standpoint, injury standpoint, waiting is not good, right? So, you know, someone who has a fracture and tries to manage that at home or waits until they can get into an orthopedist, I worry about the overall care of patients in the communities that we currently serve.
Yeah. How many questions are your folks in actual facilities? How many questions are they getting about this?
They're increasing, right? So when we start having this conversation, and saying that we were considering sending the letter to let them, you know, take the notice that we would be going out of network, you know, our team members were hoping, right? Like, okay, well, it sounds like maybe this won't happen. But when we officially had to announce that we were doing this, patients who have this insurance are regularly now asking. And we've looked at our stats since we've sent notification. We're not seeing a decrease in Excellus patients. So right now we're not seeing a decrease, and we're going into flu season, right? So we know winter is flu season, and it's one of the reasons why urgent cares are so busy in the winter is when people have influenza or COVID resurge or RSV, you know, with their kids, we're there to be able to treat them, take care of them, and get them home safely. And they've been asking, like, what do I do? And you know, our answer is, contact Excellus, let them know that you don't agree with this.
Yeah.
And so it is a common question by our patient population who have Excellus.
Last question here. I'm curious, how soon does a deal need to be made in order to prevent the out-of-network change on January 1st? Is there a date at some point between now and then where things have to be ironed out, or could this come right down to the wire, so to speak, if both parties stay engaged?
It could come right down to the wire. Obviously, it's not ideal. And I hope it doesn't end up doing that, but I would prefer down to the wire than having Excellus patients have, you know, no place to receive their healthcare.
Yeah. Doctor, grateful for the time today. Thanks for taking it.
No, oh, hey, thanks for having me.